The National Party's promising to cut taxes and raise income tax brackets to match inflation if it wins the Treasury benches next year. Leader Christopher Luxon told us National would reverse Labor's ute tax if they are elected to government.
We don't think it makes sense to put a tax on a ute when there is no viable alternative electric EV to actually be able to substitute it with.
Will you provide an alternative policy to encourage the uptake of electronic vehicles?
Very supportive of EVs, have been. You remember I moved the whole of the New Zealand fleet to electric vehicles 6 or 7 years ago. What we're reacting to in that proposal is the fact that you're taxing utes when there's no alternative vehicles there.
So, is tax a drag on the economy or is it vital for the redistribution of wealth? Certainly an issue that's got you fired up on the text machine this morning. Let's bring in two economists for more on this, the Council of Trade Unions' Craig Rennie and the New Zealand Initiative's Eric Crampton. Kia ora, good morning to you both.
Morning.
Eric, if I start with you, I wonder if we could just deal with this issue of inflation. There's been some questions about this. Will tax cuts like this actually increase inflation or will it be neutral?
Well, they're proposing to take it out of operating allowances, really. So it's, as Luxon said, instead of having government spend some of that $6 billion, some of it's going back to households to spend. If we look at how government has been spending money, they've got a lot of make-work construction programs going on during a construction boom. That'll be pushing up construction prices. It's not particularly helpful, but fundamentally, inflation's a monetary issue, and Robertson should be having a chat with the Reserve Bank about it.
What's your view on that, Craig? Will tax cuts be any more inflationary than the government spending that would have been made otherwise?
I do believe it will be, and that's because inflation comes from this, because if you spend, you're spending the money twice. Mr. Luxon wants to cut taxes and still keep government spending at the same levels. That requires higher debt. It requires more, it pushes more money into the economy. And so it'll have an inflationary effect. And it'll have an inflationary effect, especially because of the highly unequal way in which the money is distributed as a consequence of tax cuts.
Well, Eric, Christopher Luxon, whilst he said he's not going to cut spending on those big core issues, there will be some, presumably some moving around of things. Do you agree that it's spending twice?
I wouldn't have seen it that way. If he's pulling it out of operating allowances, it's money that would have been spent by the government on other things. Now, I'll agree with Chris that there are some bits of spend that will have to come down over the longer term to deal with this, and not just because of Luxon's proposed tax changes, but more broadly because of Treasury's long-term fiscal outlook.
All right, then. Let's talk about the issue of housing. Is it, or does it make sense right now to bring back that bright line test to 2 years? Craig Rennie.
Absolutely not. We've got in the middle of a housing crisis. You know, house prices are, you know, through the roof, and we're just pouring more fuel on the fire. And it's worse than that. We're actually advantaging property speculators. We're advantaging multiple landlords against first-time buyers as a consequence of the tax cuts that Mr. Luxon's putting on the table. You know, this is just going to make the problems worse in the housing market right now.
Eric, what's your view on that?
Those tax changes never made sense in the first place. Reasonable advice had been coming through from government and from other experts like Norm Gemmell at Victoria University on how these proposals weren't really helping anything in housing and led to incoherence in parts of the tax system. There are fundamental issues to fix in housing. This tax package was never part of the fix of what Labor had put in. Reversing it brings some integrity back to the tax system. It won't cost that much money because these taxes weren't really designed to raise money in the first place. So we get rid of something that's kind of dumb, that doesn't raise much money. So that's to the good.
Tax brackets, Craig Rennie. I mean, it has been a very long time. Inflation has eaten away at people's earnings, and these tax brackets haven't moved for a very long time. Is it not justified to finally move those?
It could be, and there's plenty of arguments, reasonable arguments you could make about moving the tax brackets around. Unfortunately, the way in which National's chosen to move the tax brackets around loads the benefits of those tax changes onto higher income earners. So, you know, Mr. Luxon or anybody in a higher tax bracket would receive 10 times the benefit of someone on the minimum wage.
To be fair, the middle income earner, though, is around $800 annually. That's not that much different than the maximum of around $1,000.
And that just speaks to the lack of the top movement. But, I mean, in terms of if you're going to try and address inflation and address the cost of living crisis through a tax bracket change, you would seek to move the bottom brackets, and you may well move the top brackets around to compensate for that. So you weren't cutting spending on essential services. You were actually just moving. You're actually just giving those at the bottom some targeted tax relief. You could use tax credits. You could use a range of other options. The way in which this has been done loads the benefits of that onto higher income earners.
Well, Eric, what is the economic rationale here for moving the tax brackets? Is there a good argument that says this is about trying to stimulate growth and incentivize hard work and all those sorts of things?
I think the better argument for it is that if you fail to adjust the tax brackets in a high inflation environment, that's an ongoing tax increase with distributional consequences that are hardly what people would otherwise intend when they're setting a tax system. If we were to look back to 2010, when the tax thresholds were last set, the 17.5% rate came in at $14,000. And that has continued to now. In 2010, that would be the equivalent of having set it at around $9,800. Do you think in 2010 that anybody would have agreed to setting the 17.5% rate at less than $10,000? It was just obviously bad. It would have been obviously bad, and we have gotten there through inflation. Failing to index the tax thresholds is a tax increase. Now, what Luxon has failed to do is signal that there will be ongoing automatic adjustment of the thresholds to maintain that neutrality. Now, Craig will want higher tax revenues overall. If you want to have that, Parliament should really legislate that as a deliberate decision each time, rather than providing a strong incentive for the Minister of Finance to let the RBNZ run inflation really hot.
Well, Craig, I'm not sure governments of either shade will want to do that, though, will they? They like the tax, the creep, if you like, and at times of when the economy is a bit slow, and when they can reap it in.
And again, it's a question of how you do it. You can legislate to do that, but you can legislate to change the tax brackets in a way that's much more progressive. You can legislate to move the tax brackets in ways that gives low and middle income earners much more of that increase. It's possible to do. But I think, given that in combination with the removal of the 39,000, the 39% rate at 180,000 really gives a big increase and the take-home pay of those are the top 3% of income earners in New Zealand. And there's no real sense in why we're doing that in this situation. It doesn't help solve inflation. It doesn't help solve inequality in New Zealand. In fact, it makes both of those things worse.
Well, the final word to you, Eric. What is the point then?
Well, work by Norm Gemmell, again, previously, this is published in Policy Quarterly, suggested that 39% rate wasn't really going to be raising that much money, and it wasn't going to be doing that much to the Gini coefficient either. It was like hundredths of a point. So it seems to be more about punishing rich people or to be seen to be doing so. It isn't a revenue-raising mechanism. Now, there will be a lot more government spending over the next decade. Be expecting, or at least there's going to be a lot of health costs to be bearing, and we should expect defense spending to be going up. That will have to be matched by reductions in spending elsewhere, probably addressing New Zealand super, which Luxon hasn't yet talked about, or restraint elsewhere, or tax increases elsewhere. But those should be thought through deliberately to try and figure out the best way of raising it while doing the least harm to the economy as a whole, rather than just failing to get rid of some of the dumber things that Labour had brought in.
Eric Crampton, thank you very much. From the New Zealand Initiative, also speaking there to the Council of Trade Unions economist Craig Rennie.